Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. That's a plus, isn't it? Well, as Dave said, we're looking at this morning another one of the parables in our series. And we'll be looking at the passage in a minute or two. When I first knew I was travelling to Malawi a few years ago into the rural area, I had no idea what to expect. The only things I knew about Africa was that it would be hot, dry, have many insects and creepy crawlies, bugs that bite, and little in the way of Western sanitation. The experience of living in Africa is much different to what we may think. And therefore, I was pleased that one of my friends who travels extensively for a Christian charity invited me to his house to tell me about what I needed to take and what to expect. I was being prepared for my journey. Now, one of the things that he suggested I should take was mosquito-proof clothing, which I have in my little bag here. Now, when you're out there in the dusk time, mosquitoes start to come around. So a shirt with long sleeves, a zipper up to the throat, and also this is impregnated with stuff that mosquitoes don't like, and it's woven in such a way that their little teeth can't get through to you. So that was really useful to know, to have a shirt like that. And then the other thing that he suggested, which he always took, was a good head torch. A very good head torch. A bit like a miner's lamp, really.
That needs to stay on now. For the rest of the day.
But in Africa, dusk is very short, and in Malawi, daylight turns to darkness, just like a light switch. Without a torch, you can't see a thing. Without a torch with good batteries. Now, that is really useful to have out there, so you can see through the darkness. I will take it off, because it's quite tight. Left it on. Thank you, Mick. There's no way you can see through the darkness. And if you don't have good batteries in your torch, it would have been too late then to go out and buy some new ones when the darkness came. Now, in the parable we're going to look at this morning, it comes straight after Jesus told his disciples about his second coming. Now, he's told them that they need to be keeping watch and to be ready. And in Matthew 24, verses 42 and 44, we read, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So Jesus then reiterated this important message by telling them about the 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. So if you have your Bibles, if you would like to turn up Matthew 25, we're going to read the first 13 verses. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now the context of this parable is based on the customs of the time. Bridegrooms would travel with some close friends from his home and go to the bride's home, where there were various ceremonies, followed by a procession through the streets after nightfall, back to his home. These 10 young women may have been like bridesmaids who had been helping the bride to prepare. They would have hoped to meet the groom as he came to the bride's house. Now, everyone in such a procession was expected to carry a torch, which is either a lamp with a small oil tank, with a wick in the lamp, or a rag soaked in oil on the end of it, which would require occasional re-soaking to maintain the flame. In the parable, Jesus explains that the five of the young women were ready and prepared with their lamps and oil to meet the bridegroom. They knew that they'd probably need a lot of light, as the festivities may go on some time when it was dark. So they made sure, and they brought enough oil for their lamps. They were prepared and wise for any eventuality ahead, so they could rest easy, knowing that they had all they needed. And in fact, they went to sleep. Now, without adequate preparation for whatever we're doing, taking time to consider the eventualities ahead, we can run into difficulties. We're not able to discern everything that might happen, but from experience and common sense, we can plan accordingly. The five young women who didn't have enough oil are called foolish, as they had not prepared well. They hadn't thought through what they might need in case things didn't go according to their plan. They might not have asked those with more experience of weddings what to expect either. They thought that they might be able to rely on others or muddle through when any need occurred. However, this was not to be the case. Through this parable, Jesus is telling us that we need to prepare for his return to earth. We don't know when it will be, nor does anyone else, and in fact, neither does Jesus. In Matthew 24, verse 36, we read, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." It also says in Matthew 24, 42, where it says, "However, we are called to be ready for that day," it says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come." So we do need to be ready. If Jesus was to return today, are we prepared to meet him? Have we searched our lives and truly asked for his forgiveness of the things that we've done wrong? Are we leading our lives in the line with what he teaches? The fact is that Jesus will return. That is certain. And we need to be prepared at all times for that event. Being ready for the return of Jesus to the earth and the glorious time when the kingdom of God will be fully revealed to us will be the absolute highlight of any event that we've ever been to. The fundamental fact of our readiness for that event is to know that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and that we've asked him to forgive our sins and wish to live our lives with him. Living our lives in the way Jesus wants us to will strengthen us and will enable us to make sure that what we're doing is in line with Jesus' teaching and with what pleases him. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, focusing on what he wants us to do. Through this, our faith will grow while we eagerly await his return. The Holy Spirit will enable and prompt us to build a true relationship with God, which will grow and develop into a strong bond, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be seen in us as a result. There will be a longing to follow God's commands and to live our lives in his way, not in ours. He wants us to be continually in touch with him through prayer, through Bible reading. This will keep us alert against anything that might take our eyes off the Lord's way, so that we'll be able to say no to those things that try and deter us from keeping our eyes fixed on him. In Paul's letter to Titus 2 and verse 12 to 13, it says that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The fact that all the young women in this parable were sleeping when the call came that the bridegroom was coming suggests that when Christ returns, we may be working, eating, sleeping, or pursuing leisure activities. Whatever it is, we must be doing it in such a way that is pleasing to God. The five young women who had enough oil represent committed Christians who are looking with eagerness to the return of Jesus in his glory. They have a strong faith and are determined that whatever occurs in their lives, they will live as best they can with God's help, ready to light his path with joy and praise. However, the five young women who did not prepare and did not have enough oil represent those without true faith in the Lord and don't yet know about the saving grace of Jesus. They would have loved to join in the welcome party, but have no real association with the bridegroom. It was when these five realized they didn't have enough oil and asked for some from the others that they were faced with the dilemma that this time they could not muddle through and they were not going to have help from the others. They were refused any extra oil, which might sound harsh to us, but if the first five had prepared and brought enough, so could the second five have done. They had had their chance to be ready for the event. When news came that the bridegroom was coming, the five young women, with not enough oil, found they were unable to get any more from the others and therefore could not light their lamps. Now, everyone in that procession needed a lamp, but as they had no light, they would have been left out of that procession and left out of the party. They hurriedly went off to buy some more oil, but when they returned, the door to the banquet was shut to them. We read in verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Now, this will be the same for anyone who has not given their life to Jesus and invited him into their hearts by that time Jesus returns. They may have many reasons for putting off taking a decision to follow Jesus. They may think they're doing okay without accepting Jesus, and can disregard God to lead their lives their own way. They don't realize that the clock is ticking, as the time of Jesus' return may arrive before they decide to let him be their Lord and Saviour, and then it will be too late. They're not prepared already, and the door will be shut to them. They'll not have eternal life with Jesus. They will have no way of getting extra oil. They're out of time. Being alert to what we're doing is crucial. We're to be watchful of what we do and how that will impact on the lives of others. We should be fair and loving in all our dealings with others and forge a path of goodness so that they can see the love of the Lord flow from us. By being diligent as we walk with the Lord and building our relationship with him, we will know that his Spirit will be with us as we talk and work, so that those around us can see the brightness of the King within us. Christians are to be different and to stand out, so those people who have not yet found Jesus as their Saviour can see that the Lord reigns and that he wishes to be with them too. God wants us to walk with him, knowing that he is with us in all we do, so that the way of the Lord can be delivered to those who are searching and reaching out to know how to continue on the road of life. They may be tired and upset with their own lives and wish to find solace somewhere and have someone to help them with their difficulties. The young women who didn't prepare and needed more oil would have been ready had they taken notice of how the first five had been preparing for the event and asked them for help in getting more oil at that time. They could then have responded in the same way to the possible delay of the bridegroom coming. However, those with the extra oil could have advised and helped the others beforehand to be prepared. We have a responsibility as we wait for Jesus to return to help as many people as we can to know and believe in Jesus as their Lord. Jesus loves them so much and is eager to have a relationship with them. He wants to instruct them on the path that they are to go on, but they need help to understand. And that help comes from God's people, and that's us. Are we willing to get alongside the people in need of spiritual help to explain the way to eternal life? Will we be noticed by those who are searching for the truth? We need to be ready with our eyes open so that we can engage with them and allow the Lord to do his work through us. He will give us the right words that we need. The King's people need to rise up, stand firm, and help those in need, both physically and spiritually. For this is God's love in action. And this is something that is key for us to do. We need to be alert to how the Holy Spirit prompts us and gives us opportunities to engage with those who've not decided to follow Jesus yet. Through the witness of the Lord's people, many of those who are undecided about following Jesus will see how rich the love of the Lord is. They will not have tasted such love and care before and will be amazed that it comes from people just like them, but who have been touched and changed by the glorious Lord. More people need to be given that chance to listen to what Jesus has done for them on the cross and give an opportunity to come to him and ask for his forgiveness so that they can believe in him and have the joy of the sure fact of having eternal life. And when Jesus returns, they will be able to call him their Lord, and he will welcome them to be with him at the wedding feast, and he will never close the door to them. We, the church family, need to be ready to help those who are searching for a meaning to their lives maybe as they attend our Sunday meetings or other ministries, for they will be enriched by all that they hear, but will need to be nurtured and encouraged as they find out about the truth of the gospel, which will allow them to be fruitful as they impart that knowledge to others. So let's go out and see how we'll work among those in need of spiritual awakening in our community, and see how the hand of the Lord will be working among them, and how his children will provide help when it's needed, so that we'll be all ready and prepared to meet our Saviour. There is an urgency for us to be prepared, ready, and alert for the glorious return of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you give us that amazing, amazing love, and you have died for our sins on that cross to give us the certainty of eternal life with you. Lord, just help us to enable others to be ready to have that eternal life as well. Lord, give us opportunity as we go out this week. Lord, give us alertness as we fix our eyes on you. And Lord, for those who haven't yet met you in person, those who haven't yet met you, Lord, and have a relationship with you, we pray for them, Lord, that you'll be working in their hearts, that they will come to you and ask for your forgiveness and have that certainty of eternal life with you, knowing that you won't shut them out. Lord, we just pray and thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Amen.